Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
A year ago this week, federal judge John Jones issued his ruling denouncing intelligent design in the Kitzmiller versus Dover case. In the first installment of this two-part podcast, I explained three developments over the past year that I think are helping to advance the debate over Darwin and design. First, I told about how Darwinists are becoming disillusioned. Second, I told how research on intelligent design is proceeding and how the scientific case against Darwin's theory continues to grow. Third, I highlighted how the Kitzmiller opinion itself is being repudiated as an example of judicial overreach. Today, I want to talk about some other developments. The fourth development in my list, in the Darwin versus design debate, is the persecution of Darwin's critics. Evidence has continued to accumulate that leading Darwinists are trying to win the debate over Darwin's theory through harassment and intimidation rather than reasoned argument and open discussion. The recent report from Congress documenting the persecution of evolutionary biologist Richard Sternberg at the Smithsonian is only the most recent example of the effort to suppress legitimate dissent over Darwin's theory. That report, which can be accessed on our website, also revealed the unsavory role played by the pro-Darwin National Center for Science Education in the campaign to smear and persecute Dr. Sternberg. In the words of congressional investigators, quote, "The extent to which National Museum of Natural History officials colluded on government time and with government resources with the NCSE, the National Center for Science Education, to publicly discredit Dr. Sternberg's scientific and professional integrity and investigate opportunities to dismiss him is alarming," unquote. The more people learn about Darwinist efforts to shut down the debate over Darwinism through harassment and intimidation, the more skeptical they will likely become of the Darwinist unrelenting dogmatism. And so although this continued persecution is bad news, the fact that people are now learning about it is a positive development, because that may force the Darwinists to abandon some of their tactics of persecution. Now, a fifth development in the Darwin debate has been continued public policy efforts to teach the controversy over evolution and promote academic freedom. It's true that in the first months after the Dover decision, Darwinists were able to use the ruling to bully the Ohio State Board of Education into repealing its excellent science standard and model lesson plan that merely promoted the critical analysis of evolution. Yet in subsequent months, it's become apparent that the Dover ruling has had a decreasing impact on public policy debates over evolution. While some political candidates who favored teaching the controversy over Darwin lost in the recent elections, others won, most notably state Board of Education members in Texas, the governor of Texas, and the governor of Minnesota. In addition, states and localities have continued to advance science education policies that encourage schools to teach the controversy over Darwinian evolution. In March, Oklahoma's House of Representatives passed a bill to protect the academic freedom of teachers and students to study all of the scientific evidence relating to evolution by an overwhelming and bipartisan vote of 77 to 10. The bill was later denied a vote in the state Senate, unfortunately, but it will likely be reintroduced. Also in March, the Lancaster School District in California passed a policy protecting the right of teachers to present scientific criticisms of Darwinian evolution. In June, South Carolina adopted a science standard requiring students to learn how scientists investigate and critically analyze aspects of evolutionary theory. At the end of November, the Ouachita Parish School District in Louisiana enacted a policy that protects the academic freedom of teachers to objectively cover scientific criticisms of Darwinian theory, as well as the evidence in favor of it. And according to a national Zogby poll conducted several months after the Dover decision, nearly 7 out of 10 Americans continue to believe that biology teachers should teach Darwin's theory of evolution, but also the scientific evidence against it. Only 2 out of 10 believe that biology teachers should teach only Darwin's theory of evolution and the scientific evidence that favors it. This is virtually unchanged from a national Zogby poll in 2001, and the rates of support are even higher in some states' surveys. A sixth development in the debate over Darwin has been its globalization. Darwinists often insist that the debate over Darwin's theory is limited to the United States, but recent outbreaks of the debate in Britain, Japan, and various European countries have refuted that claim, as do the growing number of international scientists who have signed the Dissent from Darwin statement. A seventh and final development in the debate over Darwin and design is what might be called the Darwinist war on religion. For years, the National Center for Science Education has tried to convince leading Darwinists to tone down their anti-religious rhetoric and cultivate the impression that Darwin's theory of unguided evolution is perfectly compatible with traditional monotheism. But this fall, the public relations strategy of the NCSC has unraveled, with books like Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion and gatherings like the meeting of scientists at the Salk Institute in November, which overflowed with expressions of hatred and contempt toward religion. This was a meeting of pro-Darwin scientists trying to strategize, among other things, about what they should do. According to one participant at that meeting, quote, "With a few notable exceptions, the viewpoints at the conference have run the gamut from A to B. Should we bash religion with a crowbar or only with a baseball bat?" It's becoming sharply evident, in other words, just how much Darwinism functions as a religion for many of its leading champions, and how the blind allegiance to atheism or agnosticism of leading Darwinists skews their evaluation of the debate over evolution. Ironically, Darwinists routinely criticize defenders of intelligent design because many of them happen to be traditional theists, just like the vast majority of Americans. But these same Darwinists see nothing wrong with the fact that leading evolutionists are largely anti-religious. Indeed, according to a 1998 survey of members of the elite National Academy of Sciences, nearly 95% of its biologists identify themselves as either atheists or agnostics. The debate over Darwin's theory should be decided on the evidence, not motives. But if Darwinists insist on stigmatizing the motives of anyone who criticizes Darwin's theory who happens to believe in God, then the Darwinist's own motives surely should be open to scrutiny. Either motives are irrelevant for everyone, or they are relevant for everyone. As public knowledge of the metaphysical baggage of leading Darwinists increases, the ability of Darwinists to maintain their double standard about motives in the public debate should diminish, and that's good news. In summarizing these reflections and thoughts on the past year, I keep coming back to a phrase that stuck in my mind immediately after the Dover decision was handed down last December. Pyrrhic victory. Darwinists thought last year that they had succeeded in shutting down the debate over intelligent design by court order. They were wrong. And the longer it takes for them to grasp that fact, the more Darwinism will continue to lose out in the free marketplace of ideas in the years to come. This is John West for ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.